Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We've gathered because we want to be with you. We gathered because we want to worship you with our brothers and sisters. And we've gathered to hear from you. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each of us. You know our needs. We pray you would touch each of our hearts, each of our souls, with your word as we look at it this morning. In your name we pray, amen. This morning we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6. And often when we look at Ephesians chapter 6, we look at the armor of God, which is found in verses 12 to 17. And I just want to briefly, before we get into the verses we're going to look at this morning, want to look at verse 12. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world." And then it goes into the armor of God, which we're very familiar with. And always we talk about, there's only one offensive weapon there, isn't there? And that's the sword, the word of God. But this morning we're going to be looking at verses 18 to 20. And I think there's a second offensive weapon there that we call prayer. We're doing a series on prayer, so we're going to be talking about prayer again this morning. So I forgot to ask somebody to read that. Can we have a mic and maybe if I have a volunteer to read that? Kathy has it there. Okay. Just 6 verses 18 to 20, a very short passage.
Ephesians 6, 18
to 20.
"And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should."
Very short passage. But there's a lot in there about prayer. If I had to pick one verse in the Bible maybe about prayer, I think I'd probably pick verse 18 there. That tells us a lot. And so we're going to look at 7 things this morning that hopefully will help us in our prayer life. But our prayer life has a lot to do with more than we understand sometimes. Sometimes when we're praying here, it affects what goes on in the spiritual realm around us. And we'll just touch on that very briefly this morning. But that's something I think we're aware of here at New Beginnings, and we've talked about that many times. But the first thing I see in verse 18, it says, "Let the Spirit," or it says, "and pray in the Spirit." My translation says, "and pray in the Spirit." Now, what does that mean? When I think of praying in the Spirit, the first thing that comes to my mind is speaking in tongues. And that's a way we can pray, but I don't think that's what Paul's meaning here. When he's talking about praying in the Spirit, I think we want to get a little bit back to those of you who have gone through cleansing streams, a little bit of that kind of thing. I think the Holy Spirit, who lives within each of us if you're a Christian, needs to guide us in our prayers. And so the cleansing stream part is the Holy Spirit needs to be in control of what we're thinking, our mind, needs to be in control of how we're feeling about certain things, which would be our emotions, and it needs to be in control of our decisions, as we, our wit would be our will, which how we're deciding to pray or what to pray for. And so we need to be connected to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to help us when we are praying. And I think another thing is our prayers need to be in agreement with this, with God's Word, and the Holy Spirit's going to help that to happen in our lives when we're praying. And sometimes it's good just to pray Scripture, isn't it? If you're kind of feeling down or you're feeling disconnected with the Lord and you're not sensing Him working or moving in your life, you could pray Deuteronomy 31:6, where God told Joshua, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And you can claim that in a prayer. But I think when we pray, we need to be connected and directed by the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 3:5-6, very familiar, says that trust in the Lord with all your heart. So we need to connect with God, don't we? But what's the next part of that? Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. That's my translation, a little bit different there. we need to put God first in our prayer life, not ourselves. We need to be praying for things that He wants us. Sometimes I find myself, oh Lord, can you help me with this or can you help me with that? And our prayers centering around ourselves, which doesn't mean we don't pray for ourselves, but we need to be directed by God and we need to be putting others first, I think, when we do pray. When it comes to warfare, this is Memorial Day. We're looking at a scripture where Paul used the Roman armor as an analogy. When it comes to warfare, do the soldiers make their own decisions or they listen to the general or someone above them? In the same sense, we need to be getting our direction from God, from the Holy Spirit. The second thing I see here is in verse 18 again. It says, pray in the Spirit and then on all occasions. Pray in all occasions. A number of years ago, I was asking some people this morning for some help on this, but I remember our district executive, whose name was Craig Smith at the time. I think he wanted to pray in all the churches. Maybe you remember this at Mount Wilson too, but he preached a sermon that was titled All In. And I don't know if any of you remember that. Well, I know a couple of you do here. But I think it was All In for God. And we need to be all in for God. And when it comes to prayer, I think we need to be all in. If I look at this one brief verse here, I think my translation has the word all three times and talks about always as well as we go over some of these seven things. But we need to be all in when it comes to prayer. Prayer needs to become a regular part of our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it's a good verse to memorize. It's very easy. Pray continually. Yeah, it's my favorite verse after Jesus wept, I think. They're the two I could remember, you know. Pray continually. Now, if we're to do that, can I stop now and we'll just spend the rest of the time praying? Is that what that verse means? I mean, how would you get anything done throughout the day? And I had to think of that. I'm going to pick on Larry and Alice. You brought a prayer concern for your grandson. My guess is you're thinking about that a lot. You might be thinking about it all the time, but that doesn't mean it. You're doing it all the time, but throughout the day, it means you're thinking about that one thing. And so when it comes to our prayer life, we need to be connected to God. When it says pray continually, we need to be connected to Him throughout the day. Through the things that we're doing during the day, we need to be talking to Him. Let me ask you a question. When you get sick, if I woke up this morning and had a headache, what's the first thing I would do, probably? Take an aspirin, Advil? Okay, what if I had a sore throat? Well, my mother said always, well, gargle with salt water and massage it. And if you get a little bit sicker, what do? We go to the doctor. But how often is the first thing we do is to pray? You know, and that makes me think, as you know, the Holy Spirit impresses that upon me, we need to put Him first in everything in our prayer life. And that changes things a whole lot. If I'm going to God first before I do anything else, it's giving Him a chance to direct me in the way He wants me to go. So when we pray, whether it's when we're sick, we should be praying first. That doesn't mean you don't go to the doctor, but let's go to the Father first when someone's sick or when you're not feeling well. When you go witnessing to somebody, ask the Lord, you know, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? You know, pray to God first. When you're ministering to others, sometimes we recognize people have needs and you want to minister. Ask God first what He wants you to be doing. Because you might save some time. You know, He might want you to do a specific thing and you're doing all these other things. So we need to learn to pray continually, and that means it should be the first thing we do in all the circumstances that we might face. The third thing is also in verse 18. It says, with pray in the Spirit, number one, number two, on all occasions, number three, all kinds of prayers and requests. If you have King James, I think it says supplications. The first part of that scripture, when it talks about just praying, that's kind of what we tend to do. We tend to pray in a general sense. An example of that, last week I was at Akron Church of the Brethren, and it was kind of neat because guess which church they were praying for that morning? New Beginnings. And so the pastor prayed, you know, a short prayer for New Beginnings. But as I thought about that, afterwards and through the week, there was no power in that prayer. It was just a general thing, just kind of covered it. He didn't have any needs that he knew that we needed, and so he just prayed. Now, if an example this morning, again, I want to pick on you guys again. Desi, is that right? They could have said, pray for Desi. Well, okay, we'll pray for Desi this week, but they gave us a specific thing to pray for, right? He's got a growth in his brain. So we know how to pray specifically for Desi. And so when it says pray, it's kind of general. When it says supplications, or in my translation used the word request, that means we need to get a little bit more specific. And I think that when we do that, when we get a little bit more specific, I think there's a little bit more power there. How about if we pray for Mount Zion Road this morning? We prayed for Pastor Chris Smith, but did we pray that God would use him this morning in a special way, that he would move in their congregation, that Chris would speak the truth if he's ministering this morning? Do you see what I mean when it says about getting a little bit more specific when we pray? And I think that's important, not only in spiritual warfare, but I think it adds power to our prayer. We're being specific, specifically asking God to do a specific thing. And I think that pleases him, because that means we're getting more involved in the situation. The scary part about that is when we get specific, sometimes that means that God's going to use you to answer that prayer. And so when we pray, we need to be willing to be used by God in a specific way. When we get specific and personal, that means that you're probably going to be part of the answer to the prayer you're praying. But get specific when you pray. The fourth thing, in verse 18 again, I don't know if I talked about one verse for so long ever before, but it says, be alert. What does that mean? Be alert. And I had to think, New Beginnings, our apostle, who's Tim Deering, had used the illustration that he sensed from God. He got a vision that New Beginnings is kind of like a special forces operation. So I'm going to use a military analogy again, going along with the Ephesians chapter. But in a special forces unit, usually they're undercover a little bit. They're trying to be a little sneaky sometimes, but they're very alert about what's going on around them. They're very alert about all the situations they face, and they're ready to act at the first sign of trouble. And so part of what we need to do when it says be alert is we need to be alert with what's going on around us. Especially in a body here, this is specifically for the body here at New Beginnings, also applies to your body at Mount Wilson, is if there's an issue, relationship issues. Sometimes a brother and sister, or two brothers or two sisters aren't agreeing on something. And that can cause issues in a church, can it? It can literally, if you have two people that are in such disagreement, it could divide a church or two families or whatever. And so we need to be alert about things that are going on around us. And if something like that happens, we need to be in prayer about that first thing and start praying about it. If there's a relation, husband and wife, we need to pray about those things. We need to ask God to help us. We need to be specific in what we're praying for. But we need to be alert about what goes on around us in our church and our body. One of the things that we often do as elders when we pray in the morning before our services, we'll ask the Lord to use us, make us aware of any needs that someone might have. You know, there's needs here this morning. Some of us have needs, and we don't know what that is, but maybe the Holy Spirit's going to reveal that to somebody. And if God reveals to you a need of somebody else, you need to pray about it, maybe go and talk to them or speak to them. But that's part of being alert and understanding what's going on around us. The other thing is, in a special forces unit, they usually have a lot of firepower, don't they? I mean, they have the latest weaponry or whatever's out there. When we talk about prayer, we have a lot of firepower there, more than we realize. And I was just talking to somebody this morning about this, but in Joshua, where's it at here? Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. The Israelites had come to the defense of the Gibeonites, I believe, and I think they were attacking the Amorites. And so Joshua asked God if he would make the sun stand still so that Israel could complete the conquest of the Amorites. And this is the power that we have in prayer. Is anything too hard for God to do? For a whole day, Scripture tells us, for 24 hours, the sun stood still. I don't know how that's even possible. We can't figure that out. And I've actually heard calculations trying to figure out, the change in time and the change, every year we lose. Where are some of our scientists here? We lose so much time every year. Do you guys know that from school? We have a leap year because of that. But anyway, I've heard calculations when that day had to be figured in to make everything work out right. But God can make the sun stand still for 24 hours. He can answer prayers that we ask of him. There's a lot of power that he has. But we need to be praying what he wants us to. We need to be in tune with what he wants. And we need to be alert to what's going on around us. The fifth thing I have, also in verse 18, I think my translation says, always keep on praying. Always keep on praying. Now, one of the problems that I've had is sometimes I think, well, I can pray for your grandson, for instance. God heard that prayer. He knows what the need is. He's going to meet it. And I'm done. I can move on to something else. Is anybody else ever like that? You think once and done is enough? And yet what Paul is saying here is that we need to be persistent in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. We need to persevere. Luke chapter 18, there's a parable, I think in the first eight verses of, we call it the parable of the persistent widow. Do you remember? You know what I'm getting at here? It was a widow who was in front of a judge who was not a good judge. He wasn't just. She was asking for justice. The judge could have cared less about giving her justice or not. But she kept asking and asking and asking, and finally the judge got sick and tired of her bugging her and granted her justice. But what Jesus is trying to get across in that parable is we have a heavenly Father that's just and loves us a lot more and cares about us. He's not like that unjust judge at all. How much more is he willing to answer our prayers when we ask of him? And so then I thought, well, why does it take you so long to answer prayers, Lord? Sometimes we have a good prayer, right? And we're praying what we think God wants us to, and yet it's not getting answered. It's not getting answered. Well, I think there's a couple things that we need to take into consideration when we think about that. When I go to McDonald's, if I go through the drive-through, I expect to get my meal pretty quick. If I have to sit there half an hour and wait, anybody ever wait half an hour at McDonald's in the drive-through or at the counter? How would you feel if you waited that long? Back out and go somewhere else? Yeah. I mean, we expect answers right away. I know people that have shared already they prayed for their children like for 30-some years. 30 years is a very short time to God. To me, it's half a lifetime. But to God, it's a short time. So sometimes our timeline is a little bit different than God's, and we don't understand the whole picture. But we just need to be persistent and trust in him. I think another instance, there's a guy that comes into work who I've been praying for, and I'll pray specifically, I'll ask God, what do you want me to say if he comes in today? He needs to know the Lord. And is there anything I can do? And I pray that prayer before he comes. But God is not going to, make anybody be saved. He won't do that. It's a free will choice. See, you understand what I'm trying to say. And so sometimes if we're praying for someone's salvation, that's not really answered right away because it's something that person has to make a decision on. But we can pray to God to ask us, to direct us, give us the words to say, use us in any way to minister to that. But it still sometimes comes down to that person's response to whatever God is doing in their life. And so sometimes prayers aren't answered because of ourselves. We're not making the right decisions, and God isn't going to make us do things. The other thing is, and this is one I think it's important for us to realize, because sometimes I get a little discouraged. I'm a 10-minute burger guy, not a half-hour burger guy. You know, I get a little discouraged if God doesn't answer a prayer right away. Because we like when God answers the prayer the next day, don't we? That's a pretty awesome thing. But in the case of Daniel, this is found in Daniel 10. Daniel was given a vision, and he was trying to get understanding for that vision. And it wasn't coming. And finally, an angel comes. I think you know this story. An angel comes and starts talking to Daniel. And do you remember what the angel said? The angel was delayed for 21 days because of why? Do you remember this account? He was fighting. There was a battle going on in the spiritual realm. Daniel's prayer was heard in day one, but Daniel kept praying. And I think sometimes we don't understand everything that's going on. But when we're persistent, I think that makes a difference in the spiritual realm and maybe what's going on in the spiritual realm that we have no clue of that's happening. But our prayers are making a difference there. And I think that's important for us to understand that, because we need to remain persistent. If God puts something in your heart to pray for it and keep praying and praying and praying, even if it goes years, because we may not understand all that's going on. Number 6, and this is the last one from verse 18. Keep on praying for all the saints. How many saints do we have here this morning? If you're a Christian, yeah, you're a saint. We're to be praying for all the saints, it says. So again, I think Paul is reminding us that we need to be praying for each other. And again, when we pray for the saints, again, be willing to be used in an answer as God answers that prayer. When we pray, it opens us up to being asked to do other things that sometimes you might not be expecting or be prepared to do. But when God asks us to do something, if we want that prayer to be answered, we need to be obedient to Him and do what He's asking us to do. I'm going to go back to a special forces analogy again, when it talks about praying for together, or praying for each other. A special forces unit is made up of a group of individuals, just as a body of believers is made up of a group of individuals. A special forces unit, and I'm not very, very up to date in this, but it probably is going to have someone who's knowledgeable and or who's called a medic, in taking care of injuries. It's going to have someone who might be a sharpshooter, or we'd call him a sniper maybe today, who'd be skilled at that. It might have an explosive expert. It might have someone who's an expert in different languages. But they all have different areas they're trained in, and they work together as a team. Does that sound a little bit like how a body of believers works together? God gives us different gifts and different abilities, but we all work together as a team. And so we need to be upholding one another in prayer, and so we need to be praying for all the saints. The last thing, we can finally go on to verses 19 and 20 now. The last thing, the seventh thing I have this morning is it's pray for those on the front lines. Paul says in verse 19, pray also for me. And he's specific as to what to pray for, isn't he? Pray for me, and then I think at the end of verse 20, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul is asking that the believers at Ephesians pray for him in his ministering to others and spreading the gospel. Very specific. And we need to pray for those in the front lines. For us, that could be some of the missionaries we support. Could be the Lynns, it could be the Russells, the Traffords, even though they're in a period of transition. And Jane's last name is Hansen, I have to remember that. Jane Hansen, who is someone we just decided to support, who's not on the field yet, but is still trying to get support so that she can go onto the mission field. We need to pray for our missionaries. We need to pray for our apostle, Tim Deering. We need to pray for the leadership here at New Beginnings. We need to pray specific prayers, though. Not just your general prayer like we often do, but get specific in what you want to pray or what God's laying on your heart to pray for those people. If you have a pastor, pray for your pastor. That's important. He needs to be lifted up. Who does the enemy want to take out in warfare? They want to take out the little foot soldiers, or they want to take out the leaders, the generals, the lieutenants, the sergeants? And so over the last couple of years, there's been a couple mega churches where we've read about some of those pastors who have fallen. And it creates havoc on a church of thousands and thousands of people. And so Satan is interested in trying to take out people on the front lines, leadership. And so we need to uphold our leaders in prayer. And in closing this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're not going to have a closing song, but we're going to have a closing prayer. And I'm going to give you some specific things, and as the Holy Spirit leads you, you just pray for a specific person. But some of the people I think we should be praying for, Tim Deering, who's our apostle, we should be praying for the Russells, the Lynns, Jane Hansen, and we should be praying for Dan and Candace Trafford as they're transitioning from the mission field to, I don't know if I should say more normal life, but a different type of mission field, we'll say, as they're leaving discipleship makers. He's still training to go into the ministry. But remember them. We should be praying for Harvest Net, Netzer. We should be praying for the Church of the Brethren, who's struggling with a difficult issue right now. And specifically, we should pray for Pete Contra, who's our district executive right now. He has a lot of responsibility. And lastly, we can pray for leadership here, for the elders, Luann and Fanny, who do children's church, Sean and Laura, who lead worship, those sorts of things. So we're just going to take time now, and we're going to close. And as the Lord leads you, just pray for these different organizations, individuals. Pray specifically if you can. And maybe I'll give you 5 minutes or so here, and then I'll close this out this morning. Okay, so let's just spend some time in prayer with the Lord. Father, we thank you for your body here at New Beginnings. Thank you for the different giftings you've given each of us. We thank you for the worship team who led us in singing praises this morning. We thank you for Mary who did the opening, and Joanne, the children's story, and Megan who's up with the children now. We thank you for Dan and Seth who took care of some of the techie things this morning. And we just thank you for the prayer warriors that you have here. Sometimes we don't see that. It's not as visible, but it's probably the most important thing. And so we just pray that as we seek you and look at the whole topic of prayer, that you'll just speak to each of us, that we will start praying more and be more effective in your ministry here in Mannheim and within the body here. And we just pray, Lord, that you would encourage us. Help us to be specific. Give us specific things to pray for this week as we start another week. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to move amongst us. This is your church. This is your body here that we just meet together. We thank you for your leadership, for your teaching. We thank you for the way you've impacted each of our lives. We just pray now that you would go with each of us. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you that you're there 24 hours a day for us. And we look forward to what you have for us this coming week. In your name we pray, amen.